This is part 7 of my Lives of Great Purpose series, and it's a further continuation of the last 2 weeks' messages about dispensing grace. 2 weeks ago, I made the case that grace heals, grace enlivens, grace strengthens, grace even destroys the devil's work in human beings. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is through grace we receive healing and countless other benefits, benefits which are available for believers to not only receive, but give out as well, to dispense. And we've been given full authority as children of God and as disciples of Jesus to dispense that grace to others. As Jesus tells us, freely you have received, freely give. And that three ways grace is dispensed by us is through the God-given gifts we exercise, the words we say, and the prayers we pray. 2 weeks ago, I focused on using our God-given gifts to serve others. And last week, I focused on how we can dispense grace through our words. And those messages are here on the website, along with others of this series. Today, I want to talk about how we dispense grace through the prayers we pray. Our model is always Jesus, whose disciples we are. As I mentioned last week in Acts 10:38, it says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. He was dispensing grace. Some of that grace he imparted through the words he said. Much of that grace was imparted through the prayers he prayed. So let's look, first of all, at the example of Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?'" Well, that's an interesting question, and one that should teach us. Do you want to get well? 2 thoughts come to mind about this question. First of all, strange as it sounds, not everyone wants a cure to their problem. We go trying to fix things in people that they don't want fixed, whether it's an addiction they have, or sometimes even physical problems. We go trying to fix things that people don't want fixed. Our meddling might not be well received. I remember watching this program about a young woman whose legs were so crippled that she had to be carried about everywhere, and someone asked her what she would do if there was a cure for her. What surprised me is that you could tell by her expression and response that the idea of being cured did not appeal to her. She said she wouldn't be her if her legs worked. Well, I wondered at that response. She did have a great support system, lots of people helping her everywhere. Perhaps she was afraid to lose that. She probably feared the unknown, and having functioning legs was something unknown to her. I don't know. The point is, Jesus asked the question, "Do you want to get well?" Because not everyone does. The other thought that comes to mind is that Jesus does not force himself on anyone. Satan and evil spirits love to dominate. Not so with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We should be likewise, not forcing our opinions, views, or even prayers on anyone. But in this case, the invalid replied, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Now, what he's talking about here is that it was believed that an angel would visit the pool from time to time, stir the water, and if you were the first one in, you got cured. We don't know if that was true or not, but we do know that it was the belief of those who were there. Next, it says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." Jesus used his authority to dispense grace. Once he did a proper interview, verifying that the man did indeed want prayer for his healing, leaving us as an example to do likewise. Let's look at another healing of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. What I'd like to point out here is that at the bottom of every effective prayer is compassion. Compassion drives effective prayer. But I don't mean particularly our compassion, but Jesus' compassion. That is, we should let the compassion of Jesus flow through us as we pray. Just as we are channels of God's grace, so we are to be channels of God's compassion. And that makes an effective prayer. Next example, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Talking about Jesus and his disciples, it says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see people. They look like trees walking around.' Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly." Now, why did it take two prayers for the complete healing of his eyes? It didn't need to take two prayers of Jesus to accomplish this healing, but I believe he did that in stages for our benefit, that we understand some things take many prayers and answers may come in stages over time. But note, Jesus wasn't satisfied with something partial. He went back at it. So we should keep praying until the matter is fully resolved or the person fully healed. Also note, he could have just spoken a word, and he does that often. But here, he puts his hands on the man. I'm not recommending we spit on people, as Jesus did, but laying hands on people when we pray is very appropriate. Human touch can be a channel of grace and healing. Or you wouldn't see Jesus and his disciples doing it. Now let's look at what James, the brother of the Lord, says about prayer. James chapter 5, verse 13. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." The prayer of the righteous. Note that it doesn't say the prayer of the perfect, but rather the prayer of the righteous as opposed to the unrighteous, the believer as opposed to the unbeliever. Now it says in verse 17, "Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. To do what? To do good, to heal, to comfort, to undo the destruction of the devil in people's lives, to give blessings. Makes you wonder why we don't ask God for more blessings for more people. Makes you wonder. And prayer can be in the form of a blessing. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.' Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. He blessed them. And we have the authority to give out blessings to people. A couple months ago, I was enjoying a lovely time in private worship, just me and the Lord and my guitar, and it was unusually delightful. And I had to stop and wonder why it was that I'd felt so blessed in my devotional time, very unusually so. And I remembered the first thing that morning when I got up, it was still dark out, but I went out front to my pickup. A fellow was walking by. It was dark, so I didn't get a good look at him. I said, good morning, or something like that, and he said, have a blessed day, and walked on. And sure enough, here I was, having a remarkably blessed day, and the only thing different about that day was his blessing to me, which I'd forgotten all about. Well, I have started to say, have a blessed day to people, because I know there's power in that to do good. Jesus wouldn't have blessed the children if it was meaningless, if there was no good in it, if it was just a meaningless tradition or gesture. No, it was a powerful dispensing of grace to those children. The disciples didn't get that, so Jesus had to straighten them out about it. Jesus wanted to bless those children because there was great meaning in it. Let's look at another passage about dispensing grace through prayer. Matthew 10, it says in verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave them authority. And I don't think we realize what authority has been given to us as Jesus' disciples, because we don't use that authority nearly enough. Then skipping down to verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, there's that phrase again. And verse 11, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your blessing. If the home is deserving, let your blessing of peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. Well, there's power in that blessing. Notice Jesus had them lead with blessing, with the hope that blessing was going to fall on a worthy person. Only when a person proves unworthy of our blessing do we withhold it or take it back. We should always lead with blessing, because there's great power for good in that blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. There is incomparably great power available to us, if we only have the sense of it. And in the context of prayer, we're talking about incomparably great power to bless others, heal others, dispense grace to others. More to come on dispensing grace through prayer.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. And wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.